up jokes from past sermons and came up with this for Mother's Day. Okay, you ready? Mom taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. Humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. Justice. One day, you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. And that one kind of came true. I think the last one was also, can be talking about grandkids, too. Anyway, when Chris asked me to preach this week, at first I didn't realize that it was the week before Mother's Day. When I did, I dug this sermon out of my old sermons and asked him if he had anything planned special for Mother's Day since he's preaching next week. He said he didn't, so I thought I would pull this out of mothballs and preach it again. I apologize to those who remember it from years ago, but then again, it doesn't hurt to revive old messages and update them once in a while. So there are plenty of examples of motherhood in the Bible. Some good, some not so good. So that is what I'm going to talk about today, a history lesson on motherhood. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come to you today with open hearts and open minds. Lord, we want to study your word and see what it says about motherhood so that we might be better mothers and fathers. In your name we pray. Amen. Of course, the most obvious example of motherhood in the Bible is from Proverbs. Proverbs 31:10, 27, and 28. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, I could probably stop there because I am certain I have described every mother here at Plain Church. But I have decided to actually look at some actual examples of mothers in the Bible to show you how good or not so good mothers actually should act. If you don't learn anything from these examples, you will at least get a great history lesson from the Bible. Now, gentlemen, be patient, because I'm going to talk to you later. So, no going to sleep on me, okay? All right? Of course, the earliest example of a mother in the Bible is Eve. But there is not a whole lot describing how she treated her children. Of course, we are all familiar with the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was a troublemaker. Abel was a good son. Perhaps Eve had something to do with raising Abel, and Adam raised Cain. But there is nothing proving that. However, there is a third son, Seth, who was the ancestor of Noah, and set a good example for his descendants. So whether it was Eve or Adam, or both, two out of three good sons is not a bad record. However, that's all we know about Eve as a mother. The next mother that is really mentioned in the Bible is Sarah, wife of Abraham. Now, Sarah, you would think, would be on the list of good mothers, but she made a major mistake in her motherhood. It began with her lack of faith that God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation meant her as well. That she would be the mother of a great nation. She was old and barren, so she gave her servant Hagar to Abraham to have a son. Of course, she knew she had made a mistake when Hagar became pregnant and mistreated her in Genesis chapter 16. Hagar did have a son and named him Ishmael. When Sarah finally had her own son, Isaac, she actually asked Abraham to send Hagar and her son away. In fact, in Genesis 21:10, she referred to Hagar and Ishmael as that slave woman and her son. Now, what is wrong with that? I'll tell you about a couple who will remain nameless that are members of this church. They adopted a son when they thought they could not have any children of their own. After they adopted that son, they actually had not one, but two sons of their own. They could have belittled that adopted son as the outsider of the family, but they chose to raise him alongside the other two as their own, a noble act. And I'm going to relate, they're going to remain nameless. I see Ishmael as the adopted son of Sarah. She did not treat him as her own. She actually mistreated him and eventually had him thrown out of his home. The result of that was God blessed Ishmael and made a nation out of him as well as Isaac. They are the Arabs of the Middle East. And to this day, they are a thorn in the side of the descendants of Isaac. Sarah's son Isaac was also blessed by becoming the father of a great nation, but her mistake has caused a lot of trouble for her descendants. The next mother I want to talk about is Rebekah, Isaac's wife. That's their son. You are probably all familiar with the story of when she had twins, Jacob and Esau. When the babies were born, the Lord told her in Genesis 25:23, that there were two nations in her womb and that the older would serve the younger. With that knowledge, she chose Jacob, the younger, as her favorite and tried to prepare him for what God had told her. Isaac had chosen Esau as his favorite, and it was obvious that he would inherit everything. In order to make God's prophecy come true, Rebekah had Jacob pose as his brother Esau in Genesis 27. Isaac was going blind, and the ruse went very easy. However, it didn't turn out the way Rebekah thought it would. In order to keep Esau from killing Jacob for stealing his father's blessing, she had to send Jacob away to her cousins who lived far away. Esau ended up inheriting most of his father's riches, and Jacob made his own riches in a faraway land. The older ended up serving the younger, but not because of anything Rebekah had done. She tried to make what she thought was God's will take place in her own way. Don't we do that all the time? And don't we mess things up every time we try to force God's hand? Fortunately, God's will cannot be messed up, and he always gets his way, no matter what we do. Rebekah ended up losing her favorite son for many years because of her mistake. At this point, I'd like to turn away from the message of motherhood and bring a point that would go along with what's happening at Plain right now. We are looking for a new pastor. It is possible that we might have an idea of who God has chosen to be Plain's next pastor. If that is so, I say be very careful. God has a plan for this church, and it is necessary for us as a church to seek his will when deciding who he has called for that position. If we get ahead of him or think we know who he is, has chosen, it is possible to pick the wrong man for the job. It is with great patience and much prayer that we will select the man that he has chosen for this church. Incidentally, we do have a search committee now, and keep them in your prayers. We don't know for sure if they want to be advertised who they are, but we'll let you know later who they are and what they're doing. Anyway, getting back to motherhood, the next mother I want to talk about is Rachel, mother of Joseph and Benjamin. Now, very little is said about mothers of Jacob's 12 boys, but if you look at how different they all were, you have to see a reflection of their mothers. They all had the same father, but were very different. Joseph and Benjamin were the most godly of the 12 men. And Joseph stayed unfaltering in his faith toward God, even during hardships, and ended up saving the nation of Israel. Now, Rachel wasn't perfect. She had actually stolen her father's idols and almost got Jacob killed over that. But she must have repented from that and passed on to her sons a faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You don't have to be perfect, just forgiven. And be willing to be transparent about that with your children, and you'll set the best example for them. We will jump to the book of Exodus for the next example of a mother mentioned in the Bible. Jochebed. I bet you've never heard of her, have you? Unless you've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments. The mother of Moses and Aaron. You all are familiar with the story of how she saved Moses by putting him in the basket and floating him down the Nile, where Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him. She trusted in God to protect her son during the worst of times, was blessed by this simple act of faith. Sometimes God asks us to do things that don't seem to be logical, but if we step out in faith, he will reward us for our efforts. Okay, now let us jump ahead a few years to a time when Israel is a nation, to a book called Ruth. A short book with only 4 chapters, but a wonderful story of a mother who was faithful even when it meant sacrifice. The mother's name is Naomi. She went with her husband and sons to a foreign land because there was a famine in Israel. Her husband and both sons died in the foreign land, and she decided to go back home. Her one daughter-in-law, Ruth, decided to follow her to Israel. With Naomi's wisdom as a mother, she connected Ruth to her husband's relative, Boaz, and she remarried and became grandmother, the grandmother of one of the greatest kings who ever lived, King David. Naomi was steadfast as a wife and mother to her sons, and wise in her counsel to her adopted daughter Ruth, and was rewarded greatly for that. Moving on to 1 Samuel, we learned of a barren woman named Hannah who had no children. She prayed fervently to God that he would give her a son. She said that if God gave her a son, she would give him back to God. God was faithful and answered her prayer. She gave birth to Samuel, the prophet. Hannah's steadfastness and perseverance gave us one of the greatest prophets of God listed in the Bible. Not only that, but 1 Samuel 2:21 tells us that Hannah gave birth to 3 more sons and 2 daughters. Now, we'll jump ahead to 2 Samuel 11 to another story that most of you are very familiar with. But are you familiar with the real story or the story that Hollywood and novelists would have us believe? That is the story of David and Bathsheba. Now, Hollywood would have us believe that David and Bathsheba had a lurid love affair and Bathsheba became pregnant. However, there is nothing in the Bible that indicates this. I once read a novel that said Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, was abusive to her and she did what she did to escape from him. There is also nothing in the Bible that indicates that is true. 2 Samuel 11 tells us that David got up in the middle of the night, went to his roof, when he saw Bathsheba bathing. She was very beautiful, so he sent for her and slept with her. Now picture this. The king of your country sends a message to report for you to report to him. What are you going to do? Tell him no. He then makes it very clear that he wants to have sex with you. What are you going to do? Tell him no. If he were anyone but the king, this would be called rape. Bathsheba became pregnant from that one night, so to cover for his indiscretion, David had his general send her husband, who was off to war, home so he could sleep with her and make it look like he was the father instead of David. But Uriah was a good soldier and slept outside, saying that he could not sleep with his wife if his soldiers could not sleep with their own wives. The next night, David got him drunk and sent him home through Bathsheba again and again. Uriah chose to sleep again outside. Now, does this sound like an abusive husband to you? A man who gets drunk, but still treats his wife with respect? David had Uriah killed in battle and married Bathsheba so that she would not be put to death for adultery. Nathan the prophet came to David and told him that God knew what he had done. Now, not what Bathsheba had done, but what David had done. The baby would die because of David's sins. Now, what does this story have to do with motherhood? Here is a woman who was raped. Her husband was murdered by her rapist. Then her first child died because of the man's sins. This woman suffered greatly. Many would have given up because of the suffering she went through. Jump ahead to 2 Samuel 12:24. We are told that David slept with Bathsheba one more time, and she had a son. That son was named Solomon, and he was loved by God. Jump to 1 Kings 1, and we are told that after Israel had suffered a great civil war because of David's sins, and David is on his deathbed, his son Adonijah has set himself up as king. Nathan the prophet came to Bathsheba and advised her on how to save her own life in the life of her son, Solomon, setting him up as David's successor. Bathsheba was steadfast in her perseverance during times of suffering, and God rewarded her by showing her how to make her son become king. Solomon goes on to become one of the wisest kings to ever live because of his mother's influence. The last mother I want to talk about is in the New Testament, the most famous mother of them all. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Here was a young teenage virgin, who was told she would be the mother of the Messiah. She accepted that. She would be persecuted and not believed, but brought Jesus into the world and stood beside him during his ministry. She was beside him when he performed his first miracle, but didn't force his hand. She told the servants to do what he told them, and then left him to do his will. She was one of the few who stood beside him when he was crucified. Gabriel, the angel, summed her up by calling her, "You who are highly favored." How can I top that? Now, gentlemen, what do you have to do with this? Husbands, Ephesians 5:25 tells us, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her." This speaks volumes to you husbands. You are to love your wife even unto death if necessary. Jesus loved us first, and therefore we can love him in return. Husbands, you are to love your wives, the mother of your children, first and foremost above all things. In fact, Ephesians 5:28 tells us, "Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Sons, and of course daughters too, Deuteronomy 5:16 says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you." God commands you to honor your mother. Ephesians 6:1-3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Of course, there aren't very many children here, but there are some. "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with a promise, "so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Fathers, Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Let's look at the husbands of the mothers that I mentioned and see how they fit into the story. Adam, again, very little is mentioned about his ability as a husband, but he stood by when Eve ate the forbidden fruit and tried to tell God it was her fault. Not a very good example of a good husband. He was cursed for his part in that incident. Abraham did not show Sarah the respect due her as a wife and mother of his son. He gave her away twice to two different kings to save his own life, telling them she was his sister. God intervened in both of those cases. He didn't have to accept Hagar when Sarah offered her to him. He was just as guilty, perhaps even more guilty than Sarah. Isaac was blind to what God had shown at Rebekah, thus causing the rift between her sons. He was not willing to admit that she could have heard from God, and therefore was as guilty, if not more guilty, than Rebekah. Jacob loved his wife Rachel, but it was his disrespect for his other three wives, the mothers of his other 10 sons, that caused his great distress when Joseph was sold into slavery and he thought that he had died. Amram, the father of Moses, was supportive of his wife's plan and was blessed as she was. See, not all men are bad. We don't know much about Naomi's husband or his sons, but we do know that Boaz honored Ruth and married her. We can only assume that his honoring of Ruth and his belief in God of Israel had an influence on his God's grandson, David. 1 Samuel tells us that Elkanah, the husband of Hannah, the mother of Samuel, was very supportive of her plan to dedicate her son to God. He was honored with the children that were the result of her dedication to God. David, I wonder how a man who was after God's own heart could make such a big mistake with Bathsheba. The sin of immorality and adultery has been the ruin of many a man. But David did honor Bathsheba in the end and made her son his successor as king. For that, I give him credit. He repented from his sin and honored the mother of Solomon, who went on to build the temple of God that David was not allowed to build himself. There's not much that we know about Joseph except that he honored Mary, the mother of Jesus, by marrying her, but not laying with her until after the virgin birth had taken place. He protected her by moving to Egypt when Herod was trying to kill them, and was a good father to Jesus. So, mothers, love all your children equally, even if they are not blood relatives. Listen to God, but don't try to force his hand. Persevere through trials and tribulations, and know that God will eventually be victorious in your life. Pray for your children and your grandchildren. How many here were prayed into the kingdom of God by a praying mother or grandmother? Gentlemen, love all your children and siblings equally. Listen to your wives. mothers and sisters. They are in touch with God too. Be there when they need your comforting during times of trials and tribulations. And all you husbands, sons, daughters, brothers, and sisters, honor your mothers, not just today, but every day. Let's pray. Lord God,